Father, we ask, Lord, now that you'd go before us in our final, really, meditation, in our final consideration in our Christmas series. And Lord, this morning, as we look to the culmination of what Christmas means for us as believers, we ask you, Lord God, that we would be very, very joyful, excited, filled with your Holy Spirit to be profound witnesses of the greatest news the world has ever heard. So, Father, we commit this time into your hands, and we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians this morning, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 2, Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And we're looking now at our third and final installment in our Christmas series, and it is Christmas, where it all ends. Where it all ends. Now look, as believers, there is never an ending for us in the true meaning of the word. I want to make sure you understand that when we talk about Christmas, where it all ends in our series, this being the third one over the last several weeks, keep in mind that when we talk about an end for the Christian, we are not talking about an end as some people may assume. Because the end for the believer is actually the beginning. When our life and when our mission and when our service, our time has expired here on earth, we would call it the end. And in a good sense, the Bible tells us that when we have ended our life here, we enter into the glory of the Lord. We come into that place of eternal life with God. So in a sense, yes, our opportunity ends here. But for the believer, as Jesus taught us last week, he who believes in him, Christ, never dies. He never really sees an ending. The Christian goes from this world to the next. And there's not a hesitation. Listen, contrary to religion, contrary to what men have dreamt up, there is no doctrine in the Bible of purgatory, for example. There is no other place. The Bible makes it very clear. Many people are taught that there's some place that you could go to, or you would wind up between this life and eternity where you can somehow make amends. That is actually blasphemous of the blood of Christ. It's false doctrine. The Bible says to be absent from the body as a believer is to be present with the Lord. There is no intermediate place. And that's good news for us. Listen, if you know the King and you're en route to his kingdom, why stop at a 7-Eleven, or why stop at a fast foods place or something in between? The Bible says no. Jesus said if you're living in this life, believing in him, and you die in this life, in the very instant you die, you never really die. Your body stops living in this world, but you are forever alive in the presence of God. The real you. And I think that's awesome. So Christmas, where it all ends. In our first study, we looked at this. Christmas, where it all began. And we saw that in our first argument, it was Christmas was born out of heaven. And we gave you verses and passages of Scripture to tell you that Christmas is not a 2,000-year-old celebration. According to the Bible, it is in fact an eternal doctrine. That the Son of God has come from heaven to earth, and that he was born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, and that his mission and that his existence is eternal, born out of heaven. Secondly, we saw last week that Christmas, why it all matters, is because Christmas came for a purpose. There's an awesome purpose for the reason we celebrate Christmas. It is a bold, exciting time because of the doctrine given to us. And then now we come to argument and our final argument, number three, Christmas, where it all ends. Mark it down, church, number three, is Christmas will be eternity's anthem. Will you write that down? Number three, Christmas will be eternity's anthem. By anthem, what do we mean? The word anthem is an old English word, and it means singing, praising, worshiping. The word is also indicating experience. That when you sing an anthem, or when you consider the word anthem, you are talking about an adoration that you are participating in. And I want you to remember that in our study. How many of you are Christians this morning? Raise your hands. I got to see this. You have an amazing future. And your future, listen, will be comprised of being a living, eternally breathing in the presence of God anthem to his person. And that's what we're going to explain this morning. So, Philippians chapter 2, your Bible is open to it, verse 9. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, listen to this, and those under the earth, speaking of the spiritual world, even in hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And let me add Acts chapter 4 verse 12 to that. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, and it's Jesus, of course, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Is that awesome? Jesus Christ is salvation. Jesus Christ, his very name. And I know you guys have heard this before, but allow me to take opportunity now to say it again. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that there's no other name given among humanity for all time and eternity whereby men, that's mankind, can be saved but Jesus? God's not going to give another name. Listen, everybody. God is not going to give any other name. Listen, it is not Joseph Smith, it's not Barack Obama, it's not Muhammad, it's not Billy Graham, it's not the Pope. It's find a name. There's no other name that can save you. It is the name. Who says? The Bible says. Well, that's your opinion. It's not my opinion. It's God's declaration. I agree with God. It is Jesus Christ. Well, that's narrow. Yes, it is. Get over it. God sent his son into the world to die for our sins. That's pretty narrow. That means you and I cannot earn our salvation. We cannot work our way into heaven. It's all under that name of Jesus whereby we must be saved. And it's that name that is the most praised and worshipped and anthemed name in all of the world. And I think this is significant, what I'm about to say. I know it sounds strange, but it is also the most cursed name in all of the world. Isn't it interesting? People who love him, worship him, and lift up his name. And people who don't know him or hate him, curse his name. And nobody curses Buddha. Nobody slams their foot in the door and says, oh, Muhammad, that hurt. Nobody, but they'll say the name of Jesus, isn't it? Why? Because the issue is spiritual. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want to ask you today, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you know who he is? Not religion and not religiously, but do you know him personally? Christmas will be eternity's anthem for us. Number one, looking at it this way, because of who Jesus is, because of who he is. The Bible tells us, as we stick true to our Christmas theme in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, there the Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Many, many, innumerable, the word means, amount of angels. And this is what they did. Notice angels' anthem. This is the anthem of angels. Praising God and saying, this is their anthem, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Technically, the word means, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace upon all who believe. That's what that statement means. Peace upon all who believe. That's the announcement. And the angels in agreement sang an anthem. And that anthem was glory to God. But why did they say it? Why did heaven's angels at the birth of Christ make this announcement? Because look, it's just in a few verses up from what we read a moment ago. Luke 2:11 says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is, and this is the reason, Christ the Lord. That's the reason for the angels singing. Isn't it interesting that before the presence of God continually, angels are praising God? And they mean it. You know, you've read in the Bible, right? You've read where it says they are forever before the throne of God singing and shouting, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Did you know they do that? And the Bible says they do it, watch, they do it eternally, forever. And in our minds, humanly speaking, we see it like this. Angels there, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Okay, again. Holy, 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 Lord God. No, They're not doing that. They are, listen, there's so much we miss. There's so much that we don't get in this human life of ours yet. And we'll get later, I think, when we see him face to face. We'll join with those angels and say, holy, holy, holy. Amen. You want to know why? Because it's meant. It's real. They mean it. The angels are not being forced. They mean it. Before the presence of God is absolute truth and sincerity. When the Bible says a moment ago, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Are you an atheist today? Guess what? We know something about you that you don't know. The Bible says someday you're going to bow your knee. You say, oh, I don't believe in heaven. I didn't say you'd be in heaven. You're an atheist. Why would you be in heaven? You wouldn't be happy there. The Bible says every knee will bow. That includes Satan himself. And guess what? He will mean it. Can you imagine? Is that going to be a good day? Huh? When you see Satan? He's going to bow his knee and he's going to say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, who is to come, the Almighty. And he's going to declare the name of Jesus, and Satan himself will mean it. And so will every human being. They'll mean it. Heaven or hell, they'll mean it. That is awesome. Because of who Jesus Christ is. Because of who he is. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Jesus is the Creator, says the Bible. And without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life. That is, he's the life giver. All source of life comes from him. And the life was the light of men. Jesus, the revelation of who Jesus is in the consciousness of men. Mankind has to deal with who Jesus is. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh, miracle, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, says John. Now, 1 John, same author, different book. First epistle of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to how much it mimics his earlier writing. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and I love this next one, and our hands have handled. John is talking about holding Jesus' hand. Remember, being with Jesus, John's the one who the gospel tells us, his very head at the upper room experience, John's head leaned upon the chest of Jesus Christ at the upper room. John is a man reporting, eyewitness account. John knew what it was like. Are you ready for this? He could hear the Son of God, God in flesh, heartbeat in humanity. John's ear rested upon Jesus' chest. Think about that for a moment. Our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, 1 John 1. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, and we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write to you. All of that to say, these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Wow. The angels sang about joy that should have been upon everyone who believes, because why? The Son of God has come. That's Christmas. Of who? It's all about who he is. Next is this. Christmas, where it all ends, regarding eternity's anthem, is because of what he has done. Listen, what he has done. I want you to know this. Maybe you're visiting for the first time. I don't know. If you forget everything today, don't forget this. Salvation is not what you do for God. You need to take a deep breath and relax right now. Well, what does God want me to do? What do I need to do? Take a pill. Relax, will you? Nothing. You can't do anything to change your status before God. Impossible. You can't be good enough. Listen, you can't be good enough to get into heaven. And all of your evil doing will not be the responsible action for you going to hell. What? You mean, if I'm good, don't I go to heaven? No. Well, it must mean then, if I'm really bad, I go to hell. Not necessarily. That's not the reason why you go to either one of those places. Did you know that? There's only one reason. Only one reason. People who go to heaven trust Jesus Christ to save them. Those who miss heaven and wind up in hell did not trust Jesus to save them. It's not all of your bad doing that qualifies you for hell. It's one sin that qualifies any of us for hell, and that is rejecting God's salvation. Did you ever think? Did you know that? You see, it's not what you do or you don't do. It's all about what He's done. If this church were to start preaching to you about what you need to do to get into heaven, or what you need to do to be a member here, or what you need to do to make God smile, then we have erred from biblical preaching. It's all about what He has done. And you and I are to come before Him broken, spiritually bankrupt, as it were, and say, Lord, save me. I trust You to have died on the cross for my sins, to have been there buried in that tomb and then resurrected from the dead, as the Bible says, and You are my righteousness, You are my salvation, You are my holiness. And God, I ask You to receive me. And Jesus says, I will receive you. Listen, so much so that I will receive you, that I will never turn a person away who comes to me, He says. Is that awesome? And the Bible says, though your sins be like scarlet, He will make them as white as wool, as white as snow. That's what He does. It's because of what He does. Christmas is all about what Jesus Christ has done, and can I add, what He's doing. Isn't it awesome? The baby born in Bethlehem, He's alive today. Now, He's not a baby right now, you know that. If you want to know what He looks like, read the book of Revelation. It is awesome. In Revelation 5, verse 9, the Bible tells us. Revelation 5, 9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. This is heaven's host. For You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That's the song of the redeemed. You're going to sing this in heaven, Christian. You're going to be rejoicing. Your anthem will be praise to Jesus Christ, the Christmas Christ, because of all that He's done. By the way, that word redeemed in Revelation 5, 9 means this. It's awesome. It means to go to the market. Isn't that funny? To go to the market. Say, what? Listen, for you have gone to the market. The word means that you've gone to purchase something. The word means that, listen to this, it gets more technical. To do a buyback or to pay for, listen, what is already yours. Redeem. Jesus redeems us. To buy back you, the one whom He made, whom He actually owns. He made us all. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain to redeem us out of the marketplace of slavery. He has come, our Creator, but He didn't leave it at that. He came and paid our penalty for sin and death because we could never pay it. It was a bill too big for us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came because Jesus Christ, His mission was to go to the marketplace of sin and of slavery and to purchase you and I out of by buying us back. How beautiful is that? What a story that is. I told you guys before, go see it again, if you would, if you'll rent it. Les Miserables with, what's his name? Liam Neeson. There's other versions. They all stink compared to that particular one. And look at the story of redemption. Victor Hugo wrote that regarding the redemption of Jesus Christ. I know because I saw the play presented in London, and they made that very clear that Victor Hugo's vision was to make sure and to say that wherever this story is told, that the gospel is to be presented. I saw it in L.A., and they left that part out. I'm not kidding. In London, they included it. Story of redemption from the law. Story of redemption from death and sin. Jesus Christ has done it all for us. Listen to this. We're going to sing a song in heaven about his redemptive powers. And that's no secret. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 22:1, it says, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And David sang a song. Christian, listen, 2014, for that matter, every day, we should be singing a song of praise. And at the end of every evening, shouldn't we do that? Wouldn't it be great if we just laid our head down at night and said, "Lord, I want to sing you this song." And you say, "Well, Jack, I don't sing." Well, I'm with you. I don't sing. But when I sing to God, he likes it. It'll scare you to death, but God likes it. And we would sing, "Lord, you're awesome. Thank you for today. You delivered me from the jaws and from the claws of the enemy who sought to destroy my life today. Thank you, Jesus. Good night and God bless. Amen." And go to sleep. David sang a song to God for God delivering him. In 1 Chronicles 6:31, "Now these are the men whom David appointed over the service of," listen to their job, "song." They were hired to be the ministers of the servant of song in the house of the Lord. How awesome is that? David was a man of worship. Do you have hardship in your life? Death, finances, issues? You know what? You want to whip it? You want to have victory over all that stuff? Become a worshiper of God for all that he does. Go against your gut feeling and go with faith. Trust God. Watch what he does. He is in the most difficult of our situations of life. No one's exempt. And he answers. And we sing him a song of praise and deliverance. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 46. "For in the days of David and Asaph," Nehemiah is recounting, "of old, there were the chiefs of the singers and songs of praise," and the word means songs of thanksgiving to God. Singing, praising. It's going to be what we do in heaven, everybody. You know, we have 30 minutes of worship song here before we get into the Word? Now, look, I've been to Russia, I think, 16 times over the course of the last 20 years. And I got to tell you, I love Russia, but one of the great things about the churches in Russia is this. You show up about an hour before service begins. I kid you not. Everybody's talking and having a good time. Then worship begins, and you sing worship songs for about an hour. And even though they're in Russian, you can sense the Spirit of God. It's awesome. Okay? And then the Word of God is taught for an hour. And then there's a little bit of a break for some snacks and food, like 15 minutes. You grab your cookies and stuff and your chai, and you go back into the sanctuary and you worship God again for about another hour. You want to know why? Because in such a dark land of where atheism ruled, those who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and they're very thankful to God about it, and it is not some time-sensitive issue. When is this going to be over? That's only the Western church that has other gods before our God. Our other gods is my agenda, my will, my time, my stuff, my importance, my priorities, not in the world of the persecuted or the hungry church. It's all about Jesus. My life somewhere back third, fourth, or fifth on the rung of that ladder. It's awesome to think. Thirdly, listen, Christmas, where it all ends, and our anthem before God and all in eternity, is because of what we will know. Can you imagine? We can only imagine what this means. What we will know. Did you know you're going to know everything you need to know in eternity forever? What will we know? I don't know. The Bible tells us that we'll know. Listen. We will know and be known as we are known. The Bible tells us that God knows us perfectly, obviously. And regarding knowledge, it tells us in Scripture that we will know then what or how we've been known. In other words, will we have perfect knowledge in heaven? Apparently, yes, but I can't define that. What does that mean? It's going to be amazing. Where it all ends in our anthem singing and the eternity with God and with one another is the fact that we're going to know. In Revelation 19, verse 6, the Bible says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters." Have you ever heard a lot of water? Have you ever been to Yosemite or stood at the base of a great waterfall? It's kind of terrifying if you've ever been there. The volume of that water is kind of intimidating. "And as the sound of a mighty thunderings." That's awesome. "Saying," what are they saying? What's the big noise? What's the clamor about? "Only this: Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." There is a vibration coming out of heaven. There is a shout. There is a song. There is an anthem. And that anthem is that every believer shouts, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent, all powerful." The word is omnipotent, meaning all powerful is our God. He reigns. Our God reigns. It's going to be a great day when He comes. The Bible tells us that the universe will be brought under His control. Right now, it's been subjugated to the powers of sin and Satan, the Bible says. A lot of people blame God for the stuff that's going on in the world. You're blaming the wrong God. The Bible tells us the God with the little g, Satan, is the one who's perpetrating so much against us in this world. Think of that. Your insurance policy says it covers everything except acts of God. It should say, not in all cases, but in many cases, it should say acts of sin in this life. Stuff that happens, our environment itself. Much, not all, but much of what happens in our environment is a result, the Bible says, of man's sins. The world is sold under sin. Look, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that little creatures, animals, suffer because of man's sins. Did you know that? And that when Christ comes back, He's going to redeem the animal kingdom from the powers of man's sins, the results of mankind's sin. Think of that. When you see a roadkill, next time you see roadkill, how sad that is. Yesterday out in front of PetSmart was some dear people that attend this church. They own a pet adoption agency, and there are pets out in front of PetSmart that you can adopt. And you look at them, and I went there to get a dog treat for our little dog, and I never made it in. I never made it in because I wound up walking by and I looked at all these puppies, and I'm looking at them, and they're so cute because they look at you, and they're just, I mean, it's amazing. They start wagging their, and you want to take them all home. And the Bible says Jesus has redeemed us from the curse and will come back in the final act of redemption, and even nature will be delivered from the results of man's sin. That's a good thing. Isn't that great? Revelation 21:4. Because of what we will know, Revelation 21:4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Does that sound good to you, everybody? By the way, in my moment of romantic thinking, I wrote down here in my notes, God knows the meaning of what every tear represents that comes from our lives. Have you cried? Have you wept? Every tear, God knows the definition of that tear and the emotional expense it took to produce that tear. Think about that for a moment. No wonder why the psalmist says He stores our tears in His bottle. Because He cares about everything that you care about. And God says to all those who trust Jesus, when eternity begins, when you go into eternity, He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, He says. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The best that we can do in this life, you guys okay? You're quiet. You all right? The best we can do in this life is say things like this: "I wish that never would have happened." You ever heard that? We've all thought that. Oh, how sad, how painful, how sorry is this? If only, you ever heard that one? If only I would have. Or if only they would have. If only he or she. Those are funeral dirge, as it were, of regret and pain. Not in heaven. That will be wiped away. All the former memory of things that are painful, negative, wrong. What's interesting to me is this. We won't remember the bad news. The word implies, let's say, Bill and Susie, husband and wife, Bill loves Jesus and Susie doesn't. Bill trusts Jesus, Susie doesn't. They die. Bill's in heaven, Susie's not. Bill will not be in heaven saying, "Where's Susie? Has anyone seen Susie? I can't find her." Because Susie was never born again, we'll get to this in the end, because she was never born again, born into the family of God in eternity, Billy would have never known of her existence. She was never born. You will not be walking around saying, "Oh man, this just can't be heaven for me because my son didn't make it." Your son, my friend, would have never been born into the family of God by that time. Pretty serious thought, huh? Imagine to have no recollection, and yet we gather out of Scripture that those that are in hell have perfect recollection of what they've missed. Read Luke chapter 15 and 16 on that one. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 says, "He, Jesus Christ, number one, gave his life. Number two, to free us from every kind of sin." Don't you love that? You got to circle the word kind. Every kind of sin. Every kind. Thoughts and actions. Wow. Thirdly, to cleanse us. To wash us. Don't you want to be washed? Oh, I want to be washed. And number four, to make us his very own people. Don't you love that? Five, look at the result. Totally committed to doing good deeds. Wow. Finally, under this point, we wrap it up. Christmas, where it all ends. Eternity's anthem that will flow from us will be because of what we will become. Ha ha, this is good. Look at you. Look at me. Look, this is not me. I'm so glad. How did you get out of bed this morning? I mean, I have a pretty good idea how you got out of bed this morning, but you got out. Did you not get out of bed? Now, those of you who are over, I don't know about you, but when I hit 35, something about 35, I felt. First time I could tell you I felt age at 35. Now, those of you who are 34, enjoy it all you can, because 35 is coming. And I just remembered, after that, Advil becoming very important to me in life. And it didn't matter after 35 if I dieted or not. If I dieted, I still gained weight. So in that capacity, you just kind of lose hope. And so you get out of bed now, and it's like, you get up and things like this. Oh. And you kind of just mosey now down the hallway like this. Have you noticed you move slower now? And even the first thing, I don't know about you, but my body's programmed. You go to the coffee. Christians don't do drugs anymore. You know that, right? We just drink pots of coffee to make up for not doing drugs anymore. We just do coffee. God bless coffee. And so it's like that. And I don't know, it takes longer to get going. Have you noticed that? And as you get older too, it's funny because when you're younger, you're late to everything. As you get older, you show up 2 hours before the event. Why? Because you can't sleep anymore. You've been up since 3. Yeah, on and on it goes. Why? God's getting us ready for eternity. This is not it. Oh, my dear friends, the younger people in here are saying, I love it all. It's just great, right? It's just fantastic. Yeah. There's going to come a day when you will want heaven to come. It's true. I'm looking forward to what we will become. As human beings, we naturally resist change. That comes from a fear of the unknown. We are creatures of habit. We like to have predictable things around us. We don't like new things because it caught us off guard. And then the second thing is, it's uncertain. I want you to know that God, who never changes, based on His foundation, we get to change. The Bible says that we become more like Him. And the ultimate graduation service is the day that we see Him. That's how it's going to end for you, my friend. You're going to see Him. And it is going to be awesome. You're going to say, this is great. For a lot of trillions of reasons. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said it Himself about what we will become. By the way, it begins here in this life. Jesus said to the most religious Jew, priest, scholar of His day, Jesus said to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The word born in Greek, what Jesus was saying, the word was geneo, and it means to be regenerated, to be conceived, to be born or bear, to bring forth from, listen, the next word again, born again. The word anothen means to be born from above, from heaven, to have a birth that comes not from a horizontal relationship. Listen, you were born, I was born. You may have given birth to someone that came horizontally. Jesus didn't use that word. For you to enter heaven, you cannot do it horizontally. Listen, because you love Jesus, it doesn't mean your kids are going to heaven. They've got to love Jesus on their own. You don't get to heaven by being born into a family. You don't go to heaven by being born into a religion. I said that once at a gathering. I was invited to speak. I don't know who they thought they were inviting. I'm serious. Right in the middle of me saying such a thing. I was preaching. I had 30 minutes. I was 10 minutes into it. And I was speaking to a couple of thousand of young people. And they said, listen, you need to choose Christ today. Doesn't matter if your parents are going to heaven or not. You're not going to go to heaven based on your parents' belief. You've got to choose Christ. Choose today whom you'll serve. And right when I was saying that, the administrator of the school came out and grabbed the microphone and shut down the whole thing and said, you'll never speak here again. All these kids are going to heaven because their parents are saved. I said, dude, you're out of your mind. And thank God I've not been invited back there to speak again. You're not going to go to heaven because your dad was a pastor or your mother was a church secretary or your grandpa sang in the choir. You've got to be born again. That's that vertical birth, not horizontal, vertical birth, Jesus said. You've got to be born from above. You've got to have a regeneration that comes from God Almighty, not from the rules of people. And all this means that in 1 Corinthians 15:50, you ought to mark this down, it is awesome. Paul said, now this I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. For behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 18,000ths of a second, at the last trumpet. There's two. First one is regarding Israel. The last one is regarding the church. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be, what? Changed. You want stuff changed in your life? I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're almost done, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. For it is written, it's an amazing thing that Paul says this because of what he knows from Scripture. But it is written, he's quoting now, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man. He's quoting Isaiah, paraphrasing, I should say, Isaiah 64. And now he's going to paraphrase Psalm 31, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. In that one verse, Paul uses two Old Testament verses and puts them together. Did you hear it, though? Listen. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered into your heart or your mind, the thought process, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Final verse of the day. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, he's from Texas, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, circle the word transformed, into the same image. This is an amazing, this is a contradiction. Spiritually, theologically, it's brilliant. Look, linguistically, you can't be transformed into the same image. Did you hear that, everybody? That's impossible. You're either the same image or you're not. You're either transformed or you're not. Transformed, same image. That's linguistic. Theologically, this verse is amazing because he's saying who you are. Look at you. Look at me. Who we are, we're being metamorphosed, is the word. Transformed. I know you're sitting here right now, but you're being transformed. Look at you. The Word of God does this. Look, from glory to glory, increasing glory, until there's an end. There's an end of the increasing, because why? It'll be fulfilled. There's an end to this whole process of living this life. It will be over. And the Christian today embraces the end. I'm not afraid to see Jesus. I'm not afraid to die. I don't like the process of getting to the die part. I don't like needles. I don't like hoses and tubes. I don't like that part. Who does? The number one concern I have as a Christian about dying here and living there is I don't want my family. If I knew today my family would not miss me, I'd be completely happy right now to see Jesus at this moment. I don't want my, you don't either. You don't want your, you don't want people crying over your gravesite or whatever. Oh, I miss my, that breaks my heart. Man, I want, if people think of me when I'm gone, I want them to be happy about it. I just thought of my husband, or I just thought of Papa, or I just thought of Jack. Oh, woohoo! You know, and there's people, I know they mean well, but, you know, we've come to pay our respects. May he rest in peace. I don't want to rest in peace. I want to be in heaven where there's a lot of singing and instruments. I know that freaks some of you out. Instruments. I'll be glad when I'm in heaven where there's no instruments. These instruments drive me crazy. Look, the Bible says that we are going to be in heaven praising God with a loud noise, and there's going to be all of these things of Psalm 50 going on. Psalm 150, there's going to be a lot of praise and worship. The Bible says it's very loud, so I'm sure there'll be heavenly earplugs given out to some. But I don't want to rest in peace. I want to rejoice in His righteousness. I want to go crazy in the presence of God. Now, church, we're going to end this here right now. I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to let you in on what's been, God's been giving us, as He always does. If we just open up our eyes, God's written us two Bibles. He's written us two Bibles. One's in your hands, and one is His creative universe out there. The book of Romans chapter 1 tells us that if somebody does not have this to read, God has spoken to the creation, from the creation to people of His incredible handiwork, so that His Godhead is understood. So in other words, if we don't get down to the jungles of the Amazon and get the Bible to some guy running around the jungle, if we miss him, God will cover that. Because God is speaking to him, this person, Romans chapter 1, about his creative powers. And I'm going to give you a little bit about what's happening in our house. It's been crazy. Put the first slide up there, you guys. This is what's going on in my house. This is actually not outside. This is actually inside. That is a 2-inch-long caterpillar. Technically, it's a monarch caterpillar. And we bought the plant down at Rogers Gardens, if you've ever been there. And milkweed, it's native to California. And we bring the plant home, and underneath the leaves, it's full of eggs. And the eggs hatch, and this is what comes out. And you say, well, it's not in your house. It is in our house. I told you it was in our house. This is what's called J. They go into a J. The caterpillar will find, in this case, a leaf of the milkweed and go into the J position. And they lock into that position. They, at the end of his little rear end there that's stuck to the leaf, that's silk. Listen, the leaf will fall off before he falls off. There's no way that guy's going to get loose from that leaf. He's anchored on there. That's the caterpillar. What's going on right now is that outward thing right there, it's dying as we're looking at it here right now. It's dying. Doesn't the Bible say our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed? Watch. The outward man is dying, says the Bible, but the internal spiritual man that's growing from glory to glory is becoming more alive. That's exactly what's happening. Did you know on the inside of this? Doesn't that look like a caterpillar to you? You're looking at the old existence. You say, no, it's not. It's right there. Look, that's the old. You're looking at the old existence. If there was a coffin here with me in it, you're looking at the old existence of Jack. Are you with me? The inside, listen, the inside of that now is turned to liquid. Next slide. That's my granddaughter. Do you see her finger? After that J sits there, and we haven't caught it on film yet. We've got other ones that are happening, but the back of the head in that J position, the back of the head at a moment, you got to catch it, splits. And it rips all the way up the length, up to the tail, up to the rear end, and it peels like this. Watch, it peels like this. And out comes the chrysalis, lime green chrysalis with a beautiful bead of gold pearls around the cap. Lime green and gold. And when that chrysalis has completed its job, it turns really dark, almost black, and then it goes clear in about an hour. And it happened yesterday to our fourth butterfly yesterday. It went clear, and when it goes clear, you can see the orange wings inside. You can see black and orange and white. And within about 2 hours after that, this guy comes out. Okay? And my granddaughter's naming them all. I didn't know, but you can act. It's very simple to determine them from male and female. It's the genders in the wings. Unlike California, unable to determine gender. They can. And then, you know, we keep them for about 24 hours and we give them some food, get them ready. And then the next slide. Then we turn them loose. Seriously. That's the first two that we launched. One was launched yesterday. Another one will be launched tomorrow morning. We've got 5 more in the chrysalis ready to happen. We'll say, why are you telling this? Because if God can do this, is he not trying to tell you a message from the world outside the Bible? The Bible talks about all, that's the word, by the way, the Bible uses the word metamorphosis. That's the word for us. God's speaking to you. He says, man, if I can take this earthbound thing crawling around completely subject to people stepping on you, poisoning you, you can't run from nothing. And God says, my plan, if you just look to me, my plan is to get you to go into the shape of a J. In our home, that J stands for Jesus. If you can just get to the J, there's a whole new world ready for you here. That is a, can you, Matt, could, if that caterpillar could tell us a story, write a book, what does it know? See, no, Pastor, you're going out of your mind now. As soon as, look, we turned that one loose yesterday, and you think in your mind, what is he thinking? Does he think? These are mysteries. But God is saying, I want to change you. If I can do that to a bug. Oh, by the way, monarch butterflies are the only migratory insect in the world. They fly 3,000 miles from Pennsylvania to central Mexico to spend the winter. It's time for you to have a change. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we ask, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that right now there may be a man or a woman, a boy or a girl here today that is agreeing with you that this makes sense. It makes so much sense that I want this Jesus, the Christmas Christ, to be my Lord, God, and Savior. The wise men came to Jesus. The angels came to Jesus. The shepherds came to Jesus. The community came to Jesus. And as I interrupt this prayer, maybe today God is speaking to you and you need to come to Jesus, who desires to transform your life. And the Bible says all those who will come to him. That word come to him is all those who will receive him. That is to believe that he died on the cross for your sins and mine. And that if you put your faith in him, he will save you. He will change you. I can't explain it hardly at all. I just know it's true because it's happened to me. It's happened to those around you. He transformed you from the inside out. The metamorphosis begins from within. You may be a caterpillar right now, but he begins the work. In your outward world, we begin to die happily because a new world is about to explode upon you. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to give you a chance today. A chance to not only secure your destiny for all time and eternity, to be loved by the eternal God, but that today you might have maybe perhaps the first Christmas you've ever really had. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you want to accept Christ, heads bowed, eyes closed right now, everyone, you raise your hand up and you're saying, Pastor, I'm changing my mind today about Jesus and I'm coming to him right now. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'll see your hand. Everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. God bless you in the back. Anyone else? Up front here in the very back as well. Anybody else? God bless you. Anyone? God is speaking to your heart and you are to decide right now. God bless you to my right. Isn't it amazing how in your mind there is this issue of choosing right now? Isn't it amazing? God gives you the choice. And yes, you'll be responsible for your choice, of course. But it's God inviting you right now. Anyone else, you've not yet raised your hand, but you know you should. You're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Church, all of us, let's stand right now together. Father, we give you our lives today. We pray for those who are accepting you now, that they would set, as your word says, their hand to the plow and not look back, that they would follow you now. Lord, we pray as a church, strengthen them. Lord, lead them, guide them. Remind them over and over again, pick up the Bible to read about what you're doing, what you've done, what you shall do, salvation, eternal life, how, when, where, why. All in your Bible. Father, we praise you today. We thank you, God. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you that we've got the greatest announcement and news in the world for all time and eternity. Christ has come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. We praise you now. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.